بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أحمد الله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الشاكرين الذاكرين، وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومصطفانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد خلقك ورضا نفسك وزنة عرشك ومداد كلماتك، وارض اللهم عن ساداتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ثم أما بعد، respected brother and sister, inshallah, today is we continue with the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But today is very unique. Today is going to be very different, very spiritual. We won't go as much in the story as we do every day, but we're going to stay in a moment, and we're going to stay in a time where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is going to meet Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal again. He's going to meet Allah again. So we're going to stay there for a while. And just to let you know, the next 15 years, so now we're over with 30 years in Egypt, 10 years in Madian, 15 years in Egypt, and now the last 15 years of the life of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Last 15 years. And those 15 years, he will speak to Allah Azza wa Jalla many, many times. The meeting for Allah is not just one off. It's spread on the next 15 years. And today is the first time he's going to speak to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla after 15 years. Because remember the first time he met was coming back from Madian, was he? Mm-hmm. When he'd been invited in the Sinai and talked to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla. Today, after the cross the sea, after Pharaoh's gone, soldier's gone, he's still in Egypt. But he's in the border between Egypt and Saudi Arabia. This is where Sayyidina Musa and Bani Israel at the moment. 600,000 people. They lead by Sayyidina Musa and his brother Harun. And they both in the border between Egypt and Saudi Arabia. They're still in Sinai sort of thing. Because he's going to go and meet Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla again in a Tor, in a Jabal al-Tor. This is what we call the Mountain of Tor. So we're going to stop there. He's going to leave all Bani Israel. He's going to leave the 600,000. And he's going to put his brother on the lead. Say, look after them. I've been invited to talk to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Look, even if when you say that, if let's say what the queen invite one of us to go to the palace, take it this way, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, or just take it this way, I don't think you're going to sleep overnight, do you? You probably won't. It's like, the queen is inviting me tomorrow. SubhanAllah, so وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So he left his brother, and he knows that he's going to meet Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal again, in the same place. In the same, exact the same place where the mountain is, where the valley, the holy valley is. But this time is different. This time he's going to meet him. He's a prophet this time. First time he doesn't know, you know. First time he was just a guy who coming back to go back to his home. And he met Allah, and Allah make him a prophet and give him the risala. Today, the Torah will be revealed. Torah. It will be revealed. So far there is no book. So far there is no... because he's just the main thing is to get out of Egypt. Just get out of Egypt to build a new ummah. And to build a new ummah, you need a book. You need an instruction.
Yeah.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran come down to build an ummah, to tell him what to do, what not to do, and good and bad, and hellfire and heaven. That's what he needs, does he? So now is that today is the revelation or the revealing of the Torah, the Torah. So. And also we need to learn something today, wallahi, very important. When I was preparing this talk, I couldn't finish it. I keep right things, because I will squeeze the meeting for the 15 years into today as much as I can, which is very hard, but I'm trying to squeeze the meeting over the 15 years was Allah Azza wa Jalla every, say, once a week or twice a month or whatever it was for today. So, but what we need to learn today is a new ibadah, a new way of ibadah. We know prayer is ibadah. We know zakah is ibadah. We know when you go to Hajj or Umrah, it's ibadah. But today's ibadah we need to learn is khushu'a. And this is came from me from last night, wallahi. When the brother last night here, wallahi, the khushu'a. This is a new ibadah, we need to learn it. We need to know how to use it. And how we talk to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla. Musa goes, he will go and talk to him, and we'll see now how he's going to talk to him. But we also need, we can talk to Allah, can we? Yes. We can, if as soon as you open the Quran, you start to talk to Allah. You start, because this is his word, isn't it? He reveals this word. As soon as you open it and you read, you actually speaking to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla. So, today we learn how you're going to go to your room, close the door, and look at the sky and speak to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Just speak to Him. Just say what you want. Speak. And you also learn how could you feel the presence of Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla. When you sit in your room, or you sit in the masjid, or you sit in by yourself. And we're going to give a lot of example of these things happen. It's not, Sayyidina Musa is not the first one Allah speak to him, by the way. It's not. After him, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's some chosen people, and the Prophet told us about them. He spoke to them. One of them is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Hudhafa. That's one of the companions, one of the Sahaba. Abdullah ibn Abi Hudhafa. He was in Ghazwat Uhud. You know the Uhud, you know Ghazwa, yeah? He was in Ghazwat Uhud. And he died. And his son, his name is Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah. He was crying. He was really crying. And then the Prophet went to him and said, "Ya Jabir, are you crying? And atabki ya Jabir, are you crying?" He says, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I am. I lost my dad." And he told him, this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Ya Jabir, Allah never spoke to anybody ever except there is a middleman," take it this way, has to be a revelation. Allah does not speak to anybody except there has to be a revelation, except your dad, Abdullah ibn Abi Hudhafa. "Inna Allah kallamahu kifahan." It means Allah spoke to him because he died. He's a mortal, he's a shaheed. Allah spoke to him kifahan. It means just literally he spoke to him once he died. The Prophet tell Jabir, his son, like that hadith. What did he, and then Jabir asked the Prophet, what did he told him? He said, "Tamanna alay." Like, what you wish, Ya Abdullah? Tell me what you wish, Ya Abdullah. What is your wish? He said, "Ya Allah, I want to go back to life." Abdullah is telling Mawla Azza, "I want to go back to life." And Allah said, "Why? Why want to go back?" He said, "Because I have tasted the halawat al-shahada. I have tasted how to die in the sake of Allah. I really want to go back and die again and again and again in the sake of Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal." Allahu Akbar. See how these people. This is what he wants to go back for. But Allah told him, "Ya Abdullah, inni katabtu alayha annahum ilayha la yarji'un." I said in the Quran, once you died, you can't go back. Unfortunately, say something else. So Allah subhanallah, he's asking, imagine Allah, this one saying, this ibadah, when you go and sit in your room, tamanna, wish for Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla. Take it this way, what you got to lose? Open, look at the sky and talk to him, talk to Allah. Wallahi, talk to him, say what you want out loud. And this is what Abdullah said, and Allah tell him, what else you want? Say something else. Wish something else. Say, "Ya Allah." Then Abdullah ibn Abi Hudhafa told Al-Mawla Azza, "Ya Allah, I really wish to tell every single person of the human being right now how happy I am." He said, "Laka hadha." I will. So this is one of the ibadah we need to know about it. And the reason I'm saying today is going to be more spiritual. It's not going to be as much of the story. Because this is what we need to learn from the Musa speaking to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jalla. And this is one of the story of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Hiram, It's another companion. And what this is the time the Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, the Caesar of the Roman, he catched him. And he was, this is a long story, but I'm going to take this short bit. He catches this guy, Sayyidina Abdullah. He was a very good Sahaba. And he asked him, "Could you tell me about Islam? Why are you so stubborn, you Muslim people? Why you want to come to our land? Why you want to spread the Islam? Why? Can you tell me anything about it?" He said, "Yeah, Islam is very easy. You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Job done. That is Islam." He said, "Really? Are you doing all this for just these two words?" Say, "Yes." I say, "Okay, what if I offer you everything you want and you leave the Islam?" He said, "Okay, no." He said, "Are you sure?" I say, "Yeah, I am." He's been captured with about 5 or 6 of the other Sahabas. He get them in the room, he get the other Sahabas, and he start killing one by one. In front of him. In front of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Haram. In front of him. He stands like this, he get the other Sahabas, and he said, "If you didn't leave Islam, I will kill your friend." He said, "No." He kills the first one. He gives the second one, "If you didn't leave the Islam, I will kill the second one." He said, "No." And he kills the second one. He killed 5 of the Sahaba in front of Abdullah ibn Haram. 5 of them. And then when he was like, has no chance to go through to him, he crucified him. The Prophet was saying this story, by the way. He crucified him. He put him like this. And he said, "Are you going to leave the Islam?" He said, "No, I won't." And he said, "Okay." He gave like a big, what do you call it? There's a big hole full of burning or boiling oil. And he said, "If you didn't leave Islam, I will just put you inside that oil. And you're going to die with this horrible way." He cried. Who's cried? The Sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah, he cried. And he said, "That's it." The Caesar is so happy. He said, "That's it, bring him back." Now I think he's changing his mind. SubhanAllah. They get him down. They go to the Caesar. And he said, "Okay, why are you crying?" He said, "Did you change your mind?" He said, "Not really, no." He said, "Why would you cry then?" He said, "Because unfortunately, I have only one soul, one nafs, to go in the sake of Allah. I wish the number of my hair in my body counted as a soul to throw them all in the oil in the sake of Allah, not just mine." See how those Sahabas, and we're not saying we're going to be like Sahabas, but you need to go sit down, get a pen and paper, say how far are you? 1,000? Million? How far? If you get 1 of 10, are you in the 1, 10, 5? Where are you from those people? They're human. They are human, wallahi, just like us. So, back to the story. The reason I've said this is because when I trying to imagine Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam speak to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal, those ideas comes in my mind. Because like those people used to have this relationship with Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. They have it. So Sayyidina Musa now is going to the mountain. And he's going to speak to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. But this time he's been invited. He knows that he's going to meet Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. It's not just by seeing a light or a fire. And he went, no. He knows that he's going. He entered the valley. He goes to the mountain. The mountain is huge. The mountain of the Jabal al-Tur is one of the highest in Egypt, or maybe in the Middle East. It's massive. And look at the Quran say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوثَى 30 لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّكَ 40 لَيْلَةً What does that mean? Allah invited Musa alayhi salam to come to speak to him. And he made one condition, Allah, to Musa. Before you come to me, ya Musa, this time, you need to sit down by yourself, leave your people for 30 nights, fasting, praying, worship me, just nothing, do nothing but worship me, and pray and fast for me. That's it, 30 days. After the 30 days, you're going to be ready to come and meet to me. Because after 30 days, your level of iman will be raised up after you do this, and you're going to come, then you'll be able to come to receive the message I'm going to give to you. because he's going to receive the Torah. But that doesn't ring the bell, the 30 days. 30 days doesn't ring the bell. Ramadan. No. We had the 30 days. See, we had the 30 days, have we? We have them. So what does that mean? Allah give us, and also remember, He only gave the 30 days to Musa alayhi salam, not to all Bani Israel. The 30 days is being given to Musa to come to worship and fast and pray to be able, his level of iman can go up, then he will be able to go and get receive the message. But Allah didn't give it just to Sayyidina Muhammad, He gave it to the whole Ummah. Allahu Akbar. Look how lucky we are. We had the 30 days to worship, to pray, to make our level of iman get up, and then our value to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal get up as well. And this is what happened to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And after the 30 days, he said, وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرِ. After he finished the 30 days, Allah Azza wa Jal told him, have 10 more. And you know what? We also had this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, who fasts 6 days after the month of Ramadan, it's called the 6 white days, you know, after Ramadan, he's like, he fasted the entire year. You know this hadith. So also, it's the same. So we're so lucky that you have the 30 days. So Sayyidina Musa had the 30 days. He finished. He's ready. He's going to meet Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. Only him, not with Bani Israel. And in the Surah Al-A'raf, he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Why are you in rush, Ya Musa? So he was running. He's so happy. He's going to meet Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. He was running. Then Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Why are you running so quick? قَالَ عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَى أَثَرِي. I left Bani Israel behind. I'm coming running to you, Allah. I want to speak to you. It's been 15 years. Then he spoke to him. And now he's going to speak to him again. After 15 years. So in that meeting, in that talk, we're going to pick up like say 7 examples or 6 examples, whatever is the time will allow us. We'll give the 7 of the conversation between Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal and between his slave, Sayyidina Musa. So as soon as he entered the valley, again, it's quiet. Very quiet. It's a present of the Mawla Azza wa Jal. And again, there is no revelation, yeah? It was him. It was the sound of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, the first conversation, let's take it this way. And also the way when I pick up the 6 and 7 conversation, you can pick up what suits you. You know? I'm going to say 7 or 6 or 8 or whatever. You can pick up one of them because some of them will be advice. Some of them will be a new things to learn. You can pick up one and use it in your life. And that will get you closer to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. So he told the Mawla Azza wa Jal, Ya Rab, dullani ala kalimatan ad'uka biha madal haya. Ya Rab, teach me a word. Musa is asking, teach me a word. I can always repeat it over and over to you. Allah told him, La ilaha illallah. Then Musa said, Ya Rab, all your slaves can say La ilaha illallah. Everybody can say La ilaha illallah. So why you picked up this one? He said, Ya Musa, if the seven earth and the 7 sky has been put in a side, and La ilaha illallah put in the other side, the side of La ilaha illallah will win. It's not that easy word. You remember this hadith in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said a guilty man was coming the day of judgment, and he have a 99 book of bad deeds. 99 book. Imagine the Malaika was so busy writing 99 books of bad deeds he's done in his life. And he was standing in the front of the Mawla Azza wa Jal. And Allah asked him, Ya Abdi, your slave, did the Malaika miss something? He said, Na Ya Rabbi, no. Ya Abdi, my slave, did you need to say something? Say, I don't know what to say, Ya Rabbi. Ya Abdi, did you feel like it's not fair? Said, no, Ya Rabbi, I've done all these sins. And saying, and he was 100% sure he's going to the hellfire. Until one of the malaika, he come with a card. Just a little small card. And he was in a scale. Yeah? The 99 book was in a scale. And this come a little card. The Prophet is saying this story. And this little card, Allah asked the angel to put it in the other side of the scale. أن الله عز وجل said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فطاحت السجلات. I mean, the whole book are flying away as soon as the card came in the other side, and he opened it and he found he once in his life said, لا إله إلا الله. Once in his life, he said, لا إله إلا الله. Subhanallah. It's a very strong word. This is the first lesson. The first lesson Musa عليه السلام has learned it from the Mawla عز وجل. The second one, قال يا ربي, Allah, before I come to you, I have seen two of Bani Israel, two men of Bani Israel. I know them. One is a very good man, and the other one is making a lot of sins, a lot of sin. But both of them have sinned, and they put their hands up and they said, Ya Allah, what happened to them? Look at the conversation. This is over 15 years, yeah? It's not just in one time. What happened to those two people? Allah told him, Ya Musa, the first one is a good man. I told him, when he said, Ya Rabb, Ya Allah, I told him, Labbayka Abdi. I'm listening, Ya Abdi. What about, then Musa said, what about the second one, the guy who committed a lot of sins? What did you do to him? He said, the second one, I said, Labbayka Abdi, Labbayka Abdi, Labbayka Abdi. I'm listening three times. So the guy, and then Musa was confused, he was saying, Ya Allah, the one who done a good things, you only asked, tell him Labbayka Abdi once, but the guy who committed lots of sin, you say it three times. Why? And Allah told Ya Musa, the good man who committed a lot of good deeds, he relying on his good stuff. He had the good stuff, yeah? He'd done lots of zakah, lots of salah, lots of ibadah. But the guy who had committed a lot of sins, he rely on my mercy. And my mercy, wasa'at kulla shay. Because he rely on my mercy, that's why I told him Labbayka Abdi three times. And this is teach us one thing. No matter how commit sins, no matter what sins you commit, you need to go back to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal and ask for forgiveness. Wallahi, he will listen to you more than the other guy who is committing good stuff, because you know to you ask for forgiveness. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, if my people, if my slave didn't commit sins, I will replace them with another new people who commit sins so they can ask me for forgiveness. Subhanallah. The second one, the third one, Musa was speaking to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal asked him, Ya Musa, هل عملت عملا لي قط? And this one is very good, Allah. He said, what do you mean, Ya Allah, subhanAllah? Did you do anything for me? He said, yes, I prayed for you. I get Bani Israel out in Egypt. I've been for 45 or 55 years doing all this stuff to get them out of Egypt, and said, no, Ya Musa, this is all for you. Your prayer is for you. Your zakah is for you. Your worship is for you. Do you think Allah's benefit from our salah? Do you really think if the entire planet became a kafir tomorrow, would that make any problem to Allah Azza wa Jal? And the opposite, if we all became Muslim and mu'min, also wouldn't make any difference to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. But Allah said, what did you do for me, Ya Musa? And then Musa said, I don't know. I don't know. He said, Ya Musa, إِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَعْمَالَ إِلَيْ أَن تُحِبَّ فِي اللَّهِ. What's that mean? The best action you can do for Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal, to love someone in the sake of Allah. Not to prayer. Not zakah. See Allah, see this is Allah is a lot valuer than you go for a prayer on salah. One of my scholars, wallahi, my teachers, used to tell me something very important. I will inshallah try to finish with this one. He would say, Bismillah, he would say, تَرَقْتُ الْأَبْوَابَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. He said, I go and knock on all the doors of Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal. You know, and then I find the door with the salah is so busy. Lots of people praying. What about the second door for zakah? Lots of people is in queuing. Bismillah, mashallah. The second door was the Hajj and Umrah. It's so busy. Except one door. And the door is التزلل إلى المولى عز وجل. To be humiliated to المولى عز وجل. To just sit and make خشوع to المولى. It was empty. There's no one in there. So that is a door you need to go into Allah if you really, in Ramadan, especially in the last 10 days in Ramadan, go and make خشوع and cry to المولى عز وجل. And this is where you get a benefit, inshallah, from Ramadan. Then, last two wishes for Musa alayhi salam. So, because of the time. Last two wishes, he said, you know when you speak to someone, too much. Say you speak to him 15 years. What is the most obvious question you will have? If you speak to someone every day for the last 15 years, but you never saw him, what is the obvious question you're going to ask him? I want to see you. Yeah? So imagine you speak for 15 years to Al-Mawla Azza wa Jal, he is Musa alayhi salam, but he never see him. Then immediately the love is too much in his heart to say, Rabbi arini anzur ilay. I want to see you now. That's too much. It's too much. I want to see you, Ya Allah. And inshallah, I have to stop here because the time of Isha, inshallah. But tomorrow, inshallah, we'll see how Allah will respond to this. How Sayyidina Musa will be able to see him. No, of course, he won't be. But Allah will reveal himself to the mountain. Allah will tell Musa, you can't see the Musa in this way. In your physical body, in the dunya, you can't be able to see me. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.